Howdy, folks. Welcome to the Ronin Rabbit, a Usagi Yojimbo fan podcast. I'm your host, Ed Moore, and there are going to be spoilers. Now, if you need to get in touch, you can tweet me or Sky Blue me at, that just sounds weird, Teal Productions, T-E-A-L, I like the color. The Usagi Yojimbo fan page on Facebook is a place where I post the episodes on Facebook. BigTimeNoise.com/RoninRabbit is the website where I post the episodes, and usagipodcast@gmail.com accepts emails of any length if you want to feedback me there. Usagi Yojimbo Volume 3, sorry about that if that came through, that's my phone. Volume 3, issue number 63 from Dark Horse Comics, purportedly out January 29th, 2003, according to Mike's Amazing World of Comics. Thank you, Mike's. Komainu is the title of the story. Now, the front page looks like we've dropped the Maverick name here from Usagi at this time for this volume. Let me look for the next one. Yeah, it looks like they've dropped the Maverick moniker or whatever publication. So it's no longer Maverick Comics, an imprint of Dark Horse. It's just Dark Horse now. Usagi is carrying Jotaro, who has a cherry limb here in his hand, looks like. Usagi with a sword in his hand. And they are walking beneath a lantern. Now, the lantern would have been more apropos for the story from last issue. Usagi is wearing a solid outfit also. I apologize. I should have looked it up. I'm not sure. I don't believe it's kimono. But whatever the outfit is, it's not the blue with his normal mon. This is just black, like, I don't know, like a mourning one or something. Mourning is in death. I don't know. It kind of really doesn't have anything to do with the story inside. It is by Mr. Sakai and Mr. Luth, artist and colored. So I'm not sure why. There's a lot of butterflies flying around also. So maybe Mr. Sakai got pressed for a cover and just submitted this piece of art for it. I don't know. But it is created, written, and illustrated by Mr. San Sakai. Front color covers by Tom Luth. Back cover colors by David, or actually the back cover is by David Oakes. It's not colors because when I get to the end of the book, I'll tell you. Title of the story is Komainu. We open with a guard pacing around the wall of a house fortress, whatever structure this is going to turn out to be, and he's being outwitted by someone dressed in the quasi-ninja attire, but not specifically looking like a ninja. They are wearing all black cloaked with a big floppy hood over their head, so you can't really tell who it is. They've broken into this house. They're looking around thinking, now where would I conceal something so valuable? Here, I think. A loose panel. There it is. Gangsters are so unimaginative. They always hide their secrets in the most obvious places, says this individual. They run off. Get away. Actually, one of the guards notices, why is this door ajar? And then looking inside, you see the box opened with the lid off to the side where this book was with. Now it looks like somebody has left beside it on the floor a top and maybe, well, you can't really tell per se now, but you know if you've read the book, a letter, a note. The guard calls for help. The master's been robbed. Spread out. The culprit must be found. Boss Hayashi is counting on us. Stop and question anyone suspicious. Search everyone you see. Now, just from that panel alone, I have an inkling of what's going to happen to Usagi here very shortly, right? That's usually how this goes. Next, we go back inside to the room where this book was hidden, and we are seeing Lord Hayashi. I was robbed, or Boss Hayashi, and his second, I believe it's pronounced Shirai. And Shirai is so tough that he walks around with his samurai sword thrown over his shoulder, kind of like one of those hobo suitcases that you've seen. You know, they have the stick over their shoulder with the little parcel attached to the end, although Shirai doesn't have a parcel, but he's just walking around with it slung on his shoulder like that because he's so tough, right? He doesn't need to put it in the sash. He just carries it around like that. And interestingly enough, I guess, so that it doesn't come apart, he's holding the lower part of the scabbard. The pommel of the sword is up over his head. So if he were to need to draw it, he would have to take it off his shoulder and lower it in order to get to that portion of the sword, which I think is an interesting way to carry it. He's that confident. So Shirai and Hayashi, Shirai and Hayashi are going back and forth. Hayashi drops a previous note on us here talking. I heard that a minor gangster, Boss Sohaku, is dead, betrayed by his second in command. Are you scheming to turn against me as well? As they're talking about this, trying to figure out who would have done it, who would have set him up. Now, I talked about Shrouded Moon, which is the title of the story. This is a reference to the trade paperback that it's in, which also bore that name. Volume 3, issues 50 and 51, just a little while ago, that I dropped episodes on in May and July of 2022. So a little bit more, what is that, year and a half ago or so? I talked about that. That was the one with Usagi and the paint, right? I think it was paint where he went in the shed and got all covered in paint and got defeated because they dropped an upper level down on him, like a partial storage bin or something, dropped it down on, I think. That was also the last time we saw Gen and an individual that is in this issue that we'll run into here in a little bit. So they go back and forth, and Shirai's like, nah, I'm not after, you know, what you do. I like my position. I really don't want to take on the headache of your position. And Hayashi is like, cool, because I like it, not because I like it because you don't want my position, but I do like it because you like to kill people and I need you to kill people. And so our relationship is good. You don't want my part and I need what you enjoy doing best. So it's a good relationship. So the guards are running around, and lo and behold, they run across Usagi and Jotaro walking around. They just got into town. They're probably walking, looking for a place to stay. It's at night, probably late at night. And we have, as you would expect, you know, the, oh, wow, you're suspicious. We'll talk to you. We'll take you in. You can't deny what we want, da-da-da-da, back and forth. So Usagi and Jotaro kind of smacks up on these guys non-lethally, again, and sends them on their way. We cut to the next day, where someone is telling a story, and they're using props along with their story. Their props are a top and a katana, and they're telling the story as they're getting the top to bounce back and forth on the sword, and they finish the story because someone falls off a bridge by tossing the top up and slicing it in two as it falls across the katana. We then see it's Kitsune, namesake for one of my cats, actually. Thank you. If you enjoyed my performance, please show your appreciation. And she has a little bowl here that we see being filled up by yen coins. They're the little metal coins that have the hole in them, which I found out at this time, they probably weren't minted that way. They were made of a heavier metal, and people usually poked a hole in them to be able to string them and make them a little easier to carry. So this is it's almost a homebrew coin. I mean, it's actually minted, but not with the hole in it. And digging a little deeper, for those of you that may care, I would suggest that these are probably 5 yen coins, because those at this time were very popular for the people to carry around to use at shrines. And she is performing in front of a shrine because the shrine is going to see a lot of action during the day as people go in and out of the shrine. So where better to grift than in front of, you know, if you're going to grift, you're going to grift in front of Grand Central Station in New York. So, right? So, yeah. So the shrine, the 5 yen, I don't know that, but these are yen coins. That's all I pretty much do know. Everything else is just supposition by what little amount of studying I did. She's bending down to pick up the coins, Kitsune, and Jotaro comes up and says, you must make a lot of money if you can afford to cut a top in half like this. She tells him, nah, that one was cracked. That's why it was so wobbly. I'd have thrown it away pretty soon anyways. Jotaro says, well, I really enjoyed the show. My, you're a handsome young man. What's your name? Jotaro, ma'am, and he's laughing. I'm Kitsune. Are you here by yourself, Jotaro? My uncle is around here somewhere. And then it's really cool. The next panel is a about three-quarter view of the courtyard where they're at. and we have the little word balloon. He went to look at the shrine. I hope he can find me. It's pretty crowded here, of Jotaro speaking, so we can locate Jotaro and Kitsune. And looking around, there's probably sketched 50, 60 people here. And I don't see Usagi, so he must be inside. But I do see one of the Komainu. And it should be, yeah. Later on, we see both of them, but here in this, we see just one Komainu. So we know here is the entrance to the temple, and we know where Jotaro and Kitsune are. That might not interest a lot of people. You know, it does interest me, though. Okay, so the reason why all of this has become important is because someone broke into Hayashi and Shirai's place, Boss Hayashi's place, Shirai's the second, stole his book of receipts, basically. If he wants to get it back, there was a ransom note, in essence, left saying, I want this much money, put it in the mouth of one of these Komainu by this time, at this date, at this temple, and you'll get your book back. So I guess the thought is that you leave the money, and then when you go check again, your property is back and the money has been taken. So kind of a blind exchange. So we are in front of the shrine of a war deity, and he was told to leave the money there during the hour of the horse, which is any time between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Which is funny because it's about 11:30 as I'm recording this episode, so it's kind of coincidence. Oh, another coincidence I meant to mention. As of volume 4, my coverage of it now, both volume 3 and volume 4 are stories of Usagi being accompanied by young people. This volume 3 is, of course, Jotaro, who we have found out is Usagi's son. And in volume 4, it's Yukichi, an apprentice, I guess he's going to tell you. Don't really know the extent of that. Last issue was the first issue involving him I spoke on last episode. And so I'm not sure what the nature of their relationship is going to be. Perhaps just traveling companions. I don't know. Yukichi is a seasoned swordsman. He was a instructor at another academy, but he is a young person as well. He's not Usagi's age at all. So, all right, back to this one. So they have left the money in the mouth of the Komainu here at this particular temple, and the boss, Shirai, and a group of his men are eyeballing that Shirai, that guard dog, intensely, because the assumption is we left it like we're supposed to. Now, if we watch it, we'll see who goes to make the exchange, and we'll be able to get my stuff, my money, and the individual all at the same time. So they're watching, but they're distracted. They're distracted by Kitsune. Some of them are distracted eventually by seeing Usagi, because some of the men that Usagi and Jotaro butt-kicked last night are here, or previously, maybe it's not last night, but earlier in the week, are here as part of the retinue for Boss Hayashi, watching also. So Kitsune mentions a little bit later that Jotaro looks exactly like Usagi would if he were that age, when he were younger. So I suppose at this point, when she first met him, she's wondering that. She hasn't said anything yet, but she's wondering. Eventually, Usagi shows up, and Kitsune gets this look on her face like, yeah, that's kind of what I expected. So they chit-chat a little bit about Kitsune and Gen, last running into Usagi, which was during the Shrouded Moon story, as I indicated, from issues 50 and 51. They go back and forth. Jotaro, she's collecting her the money she would have gotten for her performance, and says, "Hey, why don't we go over here and you can buy me something to eat." Still, we go back and forth with them and with both Boss Hayashi and Shirai. There's another panel here on this page 17. Which is another three-quarter panel of that courtyard. And again, we see this time Boss Hayashi, and we can pinpoint Jotaro, Usagi, and Kitsune in the group as well. And we can see, I don't know, I just think it's cool that you can see the bigger picture, so to speak, like that. So they still think that Usagi had something to do with it. They ran into him last night. He threw him off. He's here in this large courtyard, which is also where they're trying to get Boss's stuff back. So it's kind of an interesting coincidence, right? Usagi keeps showing up. So ultimately, between that and the fact that he just doesn't like the way he looks and suspects that he'll be a rewarding kill because he'll put up a decent fight, Shirai goes to talk to Usagi. They all notice that Kitsune was using a top in her act, so she's suspicious too. Usagi, Jotaro, and Kitsune are walking to get something to eat, and their walkway is cut off by Shirai in front of them, and they glance behind them, and it's three of the dudes that Usagi and Jotaro took out previously. Fight ensues, the thugs attacking Kitsune and Jotaro. Kitsune immediately takes one out by hitting him in the head with a top, which she, I don't know, has thrown somehow, flicked off her sword. Who knows how it got out there? Maybe she flung it with the cord that you used to spin them. The other two attack Jotaro, but he really doesn't have too much problem with them, even using his faux wooden sword. Leaving Shirai and Usagi, Usagi, of course, wins that one. The rest of the men run off as Shirai, who is the big tough, has been killed. We then see Kitsune's accomplice run up. Kyoko, refers to her as Kyoko-chan. That's why I kind of stopped short. But her name is Kyoko. And we were introduced to her in the Shrouded Moon storyline as well. So apparently she was the one that stole the book, left the note, did everything. She is now returning to Kitsune, having left the book and claimed the reward. So once again, Usagi has fallen victim to something he knew nothing about that had to do with Kitsune. And when he showed up in her proximity, he got caught up in her shenanigans, wanting to divorce himself of that. Plus the fact that he has Jotaro, he begs off from actually going to eat dinner now. And he and Jotaro head off, and Kitsune and Kyoko head off. We find on the last panel here that Kyoko took all of the money that Jotaro had also, because he was carrying money from the reward that Usagi had gotten last issue. And that's what he was spending. Inside cover is the letters page. Story notes about the Kumainu, a pair of stone dogs that face each other at the entrance to a Shinto shrine or the approach to the oratory on the shrine grounds. They're usually carved from stone, but are sometimes made of metal or wood. One dog, named Ah, is breathing in with an open mouth, while his companion, Un, is breathing out with his mouth closed, suggesting the inhalation and exhalation of heavenly forces and the balance of yin and yang. The phrase Eun no Kokyu, or Eun breathing, sorry if I butchered that, pretty sure that I did, describes the relationship of people so close they can communicate without speech. The two protect the shrine against evil spirits with their fierce appearance. The Kumainu can be traced to India and that culture's stylized representation of the lion. The Chinese adopted the lion and added attributes of their native tiger, as well as the Pekingese dogs that were the pride of the Japanese imperial family. Passed over to the Korean peninsula and onto Japan, where the lions were transformed into dogs. They're sometimes called Karashishi, Japanese lions. In Okinawa, they have a similar creature called a shisa. And that basically is any relevant information, really. There are 5 drawings from kids because someone writes a letter about using Usagi Yojimbo in his classroom. And these are drawings of the character. And then the back cover is this. It's a photograph by David Oakes of a Usagi Lego minifig. Looks definitely like a homebrew. He made it himself, it looks like, holding a sword here. Pretty cool to make an Usagi minifig. So. And I think that's this issue, guys. Next time, I have scheduled to look at Usagi Yojimbo Volume 4 from IDW, issue number 21. I'll talk to you guys then.